Ladies and gentlemen, lads and ladies, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to Slim the Biscuit. This is episode 7, season 4. My name is Travis Ridgen. I'm your favorite unemployed professional hockey goaltender. My business partner, he's an entrepreneur. He's good looking. He's a former pro of over 4 years, Rob Lalonde.
Still working on that radio show host job.
And how's that looking? How's that going so far?
It's not going great, man, to be honest with you.
He's honest. He's an honest man.
But we're still looking, and we got good audio again. I know, like, that crisp, warm audio from last episode made up for the time before, so we're good. We're back in the mix.
We got awesome audio, and that is thanks to our team in the incredible engineering room directly behind this wall here at Wall Center at the Sheraton Hotel in downtown Vancouver, outside the Pacific Northwest. Back in the engineering room, for the engineering room, Cam, Mrs. Intern, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am outstanding. Actually, matter of fact, I am great, but I'm getting better. Always improving.
Awesome to hear.
How are you? No, I already asked that. Never mind. Damn it all.
Moving on.
It's been a long day.
You're confusing everybody, Trav. Come on.
One thing that I do know, this is going to be a Q&A-ish episode. So I'm traveling back to Winnipeg. So this is going to be a pre-recorded episode with a bunch of questions submitted via Instagram. So if you submitted an awesome question, I picked it.
I'm in. Let's go.
Of today's episode. You could ask anything you wanted. For future episodes, leave a comment in the comment section below on the YouTube video version. If you're on the Apple Spotify version, you could just go to YouTube and leave a comment there and come back. But that is how you're going to get your questions in the next episode for the Q&A episode. So this one, we got a lot of questions. We got about 40 questions-ish. We'll see if we can hum through these in about 45 minutes-ish.
Rapid fire. Let's go.
The first one I got, this is from Brennan. This is a great question. What is the craziest thing a fan has ever given you? Now, as a little bit of a pre-introduction, Rob played 4 years of pro. He played for the Toronto Marlies, Hershey Bears, Reading Royals, Manchester Monarchs as well?
No Manchester Monarchs. Played against them, I think.
But in your time, what was the craziest thing a fan ever gave you?
To be honest, I never got any wild gifts, but we had some super fans along the way, and I was actually really grateful for a lot of the stuff that I used to get. One of the things I loved that I still have is I got a scrapbook from a fan, and it had all the articles, all of everything that was written about the team in the 4 years that I was on the Reading Royals. And so I got this giant scrapbook with all the articles and all the photos and, like, all kinds of cool stuff. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I played most of my time pro hockey. I played in Reading in the East Coast. That's where I spent most of my time. And we had a really good fan support and really good fan base and a booster club that was really great. And a friend of mine, Robin Schilling, she was the booster club president at the time. She always took care of me, and all the booster club members took care of us really well. But I loved when we were on road trips, we'd get booster bags on the bus, you know, long road trips in the minors. And fans would always give, crazy stuff to the players to enjoy on the bus. And one of the fans was a hunter, and we used to always get deer jerky. And I thought that was just the ultimate. Having that long bus ride and just getting a big bag of deer jerky on the bus was one of my favorite things I remember.
How bad did the outhouse smell, the urinal?
Oh, it was, tough, man. You know how it is on those bus rides. You're not using the bathroom. And if you do, you're most likely getting a fine.
What is the fine line? So, Mrs. Intern, if you don't know, have you ever played hockey before?
I have not.
Okay, outstanding. Great. So we have team buses in hockey, right? And the buses have these outhouses that are disgusting. And the rule is, especially on long road trips when we're talking like 8, 10, 12-hour bangers, you may, if it's yellow, if it's liquid, fine. If it's solid, you got to wait. You got to wait for a gas station, a hotel, side of the road. You just can't be in the bus because the bus is going to stink. And so that's the rule. If you do decide you cannot hold it and you have to go, it is a fine. So team court. So every Tuesday or Monday, we bang the gong, we get it on, and we go around, we fine each other $1, $2, $5, sometimes 10 bucks max fine. And all that money goes towards a massive team party at the end of the season or buying new stuff for the room. 50 bucks?
Oh, yeah, 50 bucks. Back in the day, I'm pretty sure. We had some strict veterans, especially when I was a rookie. And I remember they set the tone early where it's like, you guys, 25 men on a bus for 8, 9, 10 hours plus. There was no number twos, or you had to pay for it. So it was a $50 fine. So if you knew that if you had to go, it was going to cost you.
Oh, man, that's outstanding. That's fantastic. I'm trying to think, what's the greatest thing a fan give me? I've had a couple fans do like freehand sketches of me. Like they'll like with a pencil or a pen or whatnot, do like a picture of my face or like me in action in the 2.5 games, my entire career that I've played, whatever it may be. I think the weirdest thing a fan has ever given me, and I I hope that this individual doesn't watch the show because I don't want to bury them. They're an incredible salt of the earth person. They cared so much, but they got me this bracelet. Like, oh my God, here, Trav, I got you this bracelet. It also has a tracker on it. So I can see where you guys are traveling to. And I can see on my phone, and I thought, oh my God, I am not wearing this bracelet ever.
So did it scare you, or did you think that was just kind of sweet, or were you a little bit like, I don't know, this is a little bit much, or...
Kind of all four, if I'm being honest. Part of me was like,
What team was this? What team were you with, if you don't mind?
I don't want to say because she.
Nah, so it didn't, you know, it didn't bother you.
It did make me feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm pretty good at masking that and kind of rolling with the flow and taking a couple off the chin, juke and jive, slip and roll, and let's move on here.
Having a GPS from the fans at the in the Fed.
So you guys are at Bucky's gas station in Biloxi, Mississippi. You'll be home in about 13 hours and 13 minutes.
Yikes.
Next question. Jacob wants to ask, how old are you? Let's start with Mrs. Intern. Mrs. Intern, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 25.
Ooh, when is your birthday?
July.
July what?
11th.
Ooh, you are... Wait, so you're 25. So I am 2 years and 3 weeks older than you.
There you go.
Rob, when are you
born? You guys are adorable. I was born in 82. You can look it up on my hockey DB.
You were born February, correct?
April, as a matter of fact, Trav. But thanks for remembering.
April 28th?
Okay. Close.
April 26th.
Close.
April 23.
Come on, man. Check out the hockey DB. You can find it.
Mrs. Intern, can you Google that real quick, please? When is Rob Lalonde born? She'll go back to us. She's working hard. Yeah. I can hear her like... That's a computer typing away there. Next question we had. I like this one a lot. Fonzette, she asks... What comfort items do you travel with? This could be on the road, traveling for business. What do you have to travel with?
For me, comfort items, I would say, like I mentioned, we talked about this earlier. I think I don't have too much stuff. When I travel light. But I got one of those neck pillows that I always carry with me, and I find to be awesome, especially if you're on a long plane trip. Whipping out that neck pillow, and I'm just out like a light. So for me, it's my neck pillow.
That's a big one. If I had to pick, though, I'd go my coffee Chemex, my pour-over setup, because I get my caffeine hit whenever I need it.
Yeah, that's too much for me, man. Carrying the coffee chemistry set, which I give, like, listen, like, props to you. You definitely make a fine cup of joe. And whenever we're together, it's nice that you can whip out the chemistry set. But I don't know, glass chemistry coffee sets on the road is a next level commitment that I haven't got there yet. And I don't think I will.
There was a period in my life where I was deciding, do I want the Chemex or do I want a griddle for protein pancakes? I went with the Chemex. I haven't done protein pancakes on a griddle on the road yet.
Yeah, I told you too. I introduced you. I showed you the other day, the mocha pot. You got to check out the mocha pot, man, because it's a little bit more easy for travel and the coffee's top notch.
Throw a little video on the video version of the show. The next question I had, I like this one. This is actually an incredible question. This will lead us into a lot more questions later on in the episode. Drew Kriblin. Sorry, Drew. He says, how do you both live comfortably without a 9-to-5 job or a 9-to-5 income or lifestyle?
Do you want to take a swing at it first, or how do you live comfortably without a 9-to-5 job?
I think you definitely got to be more frugal. I think for sure, because you never know. Like, I'm trying to think, how do I want to explain this? So, from a business perspective, I've tried to diversify. So, the podcast has money coming in, the vlog has money coming in, a couple other business endeavors have money coming in. So, it's not all eggs in one basket. And within that ecosystem, let's use the podcast for an example. There's self-funding, which is the Patreon page, which you can do $5 a month to get all these extra perks and exclusive benefits. There's the YouTube AdSense. So like when you watch this on YouTube, that those ads on the video is what pay us. There's also the sponsors. So the Sheath Underwear, the Ridge Wallets, the Manscapes, the BetterHelp.com, all those pay the bills. And then you copy and paste that formula for the vlog and then other stuff. So that does give a little bit of comfortability because all my eggs are not in one basket. So if one goes down, something happens, it's not game over. But I do think you have to live somewhat frugally to just make sure there's a end of the world money sitting aside there for you just in case something bad does happen.
Yeah, it's smart to live that way, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you start your own company or you start your own YouTube show or podcast. Like, you definitely have to be, you know, careful about what you're spending. And, you know, for me, I have my own business and I'm super grateful. Like, I've worked jobs in the past my whole life. Well, I played hockey, but also before I started Buttons, I had technically a 9-to-5 sales job. And then, you know, now I own my own company and that's what pays the bills. And I'm grateful for that. And honestly, I I don't work a 9-to-5, but I work a lot. So I'm always working on there's when you have a company, there's always stuff to do. But it's exciting because there's always new ways to, you know, get your product out there and sell more stuff and create more revenue. And that's basically how I'm doing it.
I think I also want to add this as well. Within that ecosystem of how do you live comfortably, I travel a lot. So how do I set myself up so I can get paid and or rewarded to travel? So if I get in bed with Air Canada, which I personally am, I haven't paid a single penny for travel in the last 6 months because I've just been using points and redeeming points left and right. Even my train trip coming up on Monday for going back home to Winnipeg, that's free and that's covered as well. So getting your money to work for you, I think, is a part of being comfortable. Because if I was paying out of pocket left and right, paying the highest of prices, it would not be very comfortable. But if I know I have travel coming up that's already prepaid or it's covered completely, that makes life a little bit easier.
Like in a couple of weeks, we're heading to Minnesota for a big hockey event for Let's Play Hockey Expo. We'll be there first week of March. You know, that's a business expense that I need to go and do. So my company is going to pay me for me to go and do it. And I'm going to get paid to be there as well because, you know, I own the company. So that's how it works. And it's great. And I highly recommend if you're listening to this and you have an idea or you just think starting your own business is something that you'd like to do, I highly recommend you do it because it's changed your life and it takes you off into this crazy adventure.
I think you also have to look at the board as well. And I've talked about this a couple episodes ago, but looking at the chessboard, what is logical, what is obtainable, what is not, and how can we formulate a plan? Not everything is going to go the way that you planned it, right? Not everything is going to go exactly the way that you envisioned, but the shape that it takes over a period of time and the way that it turns into might actually be better than that. So just, again, being flexible and rolling with it.
Yeah, and also, like you said, you hit the nail on the head, and it's, for me, the same things happen, like where you can't see what will happen in the future, but if you're putting your efforts towards something, things aren't going to happen as you anticipate them. Like Mike Tyson says, you don't know. And everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. It kind of is like that in life and business.
Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in
the face. Oh, I forgot, Trav. You got the Mike Tyson impression down pat. Yeah, I forgot that already. You already used that one. But no, but it's true. And then, you know, things will happen along the way. But life is going to unfold in a different way than you can anticipate. And oftentimes for me, I found that when you're in the right path and you're doing hard work and you're doing the right thing, it's going to be better than you could have imagined it. And I'm kind of hoping the same thing for my life now, where, like, you know, I have a vision of how I want my life to go, and I think it's going to actually end up better than I expected. So, yeah.
Cam Mowry asks this question. This is a great transition point. He says, how did you not let all the bullshit outside of the rink bother you? And I'm going to use that in general sense. So if I'm in Watertown, I'm living with 8 guys, 1 house, 1 bathroom, all the other things that have gone on in my career, how do you not let that bother you? My GM cuts my pay, I'm getting lied to left and right, making sure that doesn't bother you. Installing a mindset of, okay, I have the ability to choose how I feel. And some people are going to disagree with this strongly, so be it. Every feeling that you have that comes into your mind, everything that you hear, everything that you experience, you have the ability to choose how you feel. If, for example, if somebody leaves a comment, this is the worst podcast I've ever seen, and God, that guy is ugly. Okay, is that constructive feedback? No. I can get a butt hurt by it, or I can just water off a duck's back. My Mrs. Intern says, guys, your show was not flowing very well today. Okay, let's talk constructive feedback. How can we make that better? I have the ability to choose how I feel and how I interpret those types of things. So I can get upset that my general manager is lying to me and telling me that, hey, you're the number 2 guy. You're going to start next game. And then I get scratched 5 games in a row. Or I can just let it be. It's going to take the way that it's going to go the way that it's going to go. God is going to give me tests along the way. I don't know when I'm going to be tested, but it's my job to prepare myself and make sure that I'm going to pass that test. And ultimately, some people don't like this. Hockey is the measuring stick to life. If I can succeed with the things that I just outlined, then I'm probably going to be successful in business and life and relationships with my family, all that type of stuff. Rob, agree or disagree?
Trav, I'll be honest, man, hearing you talk about this, like, it's something I've seen from you since I've known you, that you're really good at not letting the outside affect you because you've overcome a lot of obstacles to get to where you are. I personally, in my career, in my life as a player, and even maybe as a businessman as well, like, I didn't have the same, unfortunately, I did let some of the outside things affect me. You know, like, I was, you know, maybe didn't get along with my coach in pro hockey, or I didn't play enough when I got called up to the American League, or, you know, the partying that happened in my career, both in college and as a pro athlete, like, there was a lot of partying and there was a lot of outside distractions that I might have let probably affect me negatively because either I was too immature to abstain from certain things or too immature to handle, you know, not getting played enough. You know, like, for example, when I got called up to the Marlies, my my third year pro, I got called to the American League. I was like, oh, this is great. I get called to the Marlies. I'm one step away from the NHL. I get up there, and I'm not in the lineup the first day. And what am I doing? I'm on the phone with my father complaining and, you know, not really handling it as well. As looking back on it now, I should have. And so I hear you describe how you handle things, and I think you've, you know, come to a way that a mature way of handling things that I, unfortunately, as a younger athlete, didn't handle as well. So I think it's important for people to hear that like handling adversity away from the rink or at the rink or things don't go your way is really important and really crucial. Unfortunately for me, I think I did let some of those things bother me, and I'm trying now as I've gotten older to learn to not as much. So good kudos to you for having that mindset, you know, where you've been basically treated like garbage, and I've seen you firsthand, and you've handled it well. And not only that, you've parlayed it into entertainment for your fans, and you're talking about it on your podcast, and you're making vlogs, and people can enjoy that you're going through this like hell experience playing in this league, getting shipped around all over the Fed. And that's awesome. And I think for me, looking back on it, I wish I had handled some of my adversity a little better. I mean, I did some good things and I got to some cool places, but I think I could have done better. And hopefully the person who asked that question, you know, in their own life, they can see like things that are happening to them. Like, how can they handle it the best situation possible, best way possible?
I will be honest with you, though, Rob. There's been a bunch of times where I have been just enraged by what is going on. I think there's two situations that come to mind where I genuinely had fighting rage. One in Motor City, when we had a meeting and the general manager says, okay, you're the number two guy, and that's it. Well, you guys have scratched me the last three games in a row. You're the number two guy. You are our backup. Am I? Well, the next game, the Babs isn't playing. You're going to start. Great. Babs gets called up. I'm starting, right? Nope. Backing up again. That I was very upset about. I didn't say anything. Part of me kind of wishes that I did. When I was in Watertown and my general manager calls me in the office and says, I'm not going to pay you what we promised you over the summer that we negotiated for. I said, hey, we shook on it. We had a deal. He said, nope, we never shook on anything. That made me very enraged. Also, when my coach pulled me in Watertown after I gave 2 goals on 13 shots after they left our start.
Oh, that was terrible.
And dude, I gave you a shout out in the vlog from last week. I literally remember I'm sitting down with the coach on, must have been a Friday morning after morning skate. Trav, you're not gonna be dressing probably for the next 3 to 4 weeks, dude. We're gonna try to move you, but it is what it is. We got blown out 10-3 that night, 9-3, whatever it was. Hey, Riz, you're starting. Great. I called you up, was like, hey man, I'm starting tonight. Well, I guess I better get going, Trav. What do you mean going? Well, I'm gonna come to the game. Like now? Yeah. And you literally made it, and you got to witness firsthand that game.
Oh man, I'm so glad that we made it to that game. That was awesome, man. You called me. I was in New Hampshire at the beach. It was like my feet were in the sand, and you called me and you're like, I'm starting. I like ran to my car because I knew we had like a 6-hour drive and I needed to make it there for the opening skate. And I also didn't know what would happen. I'm like, I gotta get there for the beginning of the game. You just never know with this league. So glad we made it for that.
And I give up 2 goals on 13 shots. I get pulled. And I think you got a firsthand seat to see it. I had some choice words for a coach. That's the first time I'd ever mouthed off to a coach on the bench. Actually, maybe I should tell that story. What did I say to him? Because there's a lot of people that ask me, what did I say? Because I was so frustrated. Because my mindset going into no matter what I do is I am the man. Because I don't think it serves you otherwise. And to come back to the original question that Cam asked about how you not let things bother you. I don't let things bother me because I believe I'm the man. I'm the best goalie in this team. I'm the best goalie in the league. I'm the best at everything that I do. That is the mindset I install in my mind because it's not going to hurt me to think that. If I come in thinking, oh, well, I'm okay. I might do the job. That doesn't serve me. It only serves me to believe that I am the man in everything that I do. There is no exceptions. End of story. So that's the mindset I install. And when I feel I can perform, I just need to be given the opportunity and coach rips that opportunity away from me. I just kind of had enough and I let him have it on the bench. And I can't remember exactly because I came to the bench. I threw my stuff down and I just stared at him like 5 seconds. He didn't make eye contact, but I just stared at him with rage in my eyes. And he looks at me and I said, why the F did you pull me? You had no business pull me. I'm playing. Let me kick for the team. I'm here and I'm going to work for my team. And he says, Ridgie, it's not about you. It's about the team. We're flat tonight. Let me fight. Let me battle for the guys. It's not about you. Well, you left the starter in for 5 goals on 13 shots. And you yanked me on 2 on 13. So it is about me. Matter of fact, you're just looking for any excuse to pull me out. Those are the only 3 times where I've genuinely been enraged. But to not allow it to bother you and detach because that does not serve me is the key. And went to Mississippi. Yeah, didn't bother me.
That was tough. I was there for it. I thought you deserved better on that game. You had some good moments in that when you know you gave up 2 on 13. I thought you had some good moments. I didn't think you deserved to get pulled after that. And honestly, though, I watched you and I watched your body language. I didn't see you have that interaction with the coach, although I think it was deservedly so that you had a right to be upset. I did notice, though, you did have good body language after that, where you were supportive of the other goalie and you were out there high-fiving with the guys, too. Honestly,
because my job is to make sure that I don't affect the team. I let the coach know how I felt. I could not have been any more clear. There is no way he's going to go home and say, wonder how Trav feels. No, he knew exactly how I felt about things. My job is to now I've changed roles, and it is going to serve me the best that I can to endear myself to my teammates, because when the next opportunity comes, my teammates are going to say, Trav was a team player. He got shafted. Coach didn't give an opportunity. They buried him. But guess what? He still had a smile. He was supporting the guys. He's opened the door, giving everybody high fives. That's a team guy. I'm going to work a little harder for him next time so that doesn't happen to him. And funny enough, I remember when we went to the locker room in that game, every single guy on the team, actually, no, that's a lie. About 3/4 of the guys on the team, with the exception of our other goalie, said, I don't know why he pulled you, dude. Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. So I'm glad that we were on the same page. But Cam, I hope that answers.
That was brutal, man. 2 goals on 13. I didn't think you deserved it, but
especially after the big pad save and the back door 5-on-3 penalty killer, you got
unreal. I know, and the boys were buzzing too. I was happy to be there for you for that game, man. That was a fun one.
But you know who was there for me long before you showed up at the rink, Dave or Rob? Sorry, geez, 6 episodes.
Whoa! No, shout out to Dave. He's the man.
You know who was there for me through and through, Rob?
Who's that, Trav?
The team at Sheathon were the presenting sponsor for the show. They were the logo on my pads when I made that big pad save back door. They were the logo on my pads when I let Coach have it. Sheath Underwear. They have an incredible technology. They're incredible bamboo mesh. Their bamboo fibers are enduring and enhanced to make you feel comfortable with gentle caressing of the crotch region to separate your dick and your balls so that they do not stick to the side of your leg. You're going to be compartmentalized. You'll not be bat winging, sweaty, disgusting. Whether you are in the engineering room here at Wall Center in downtown Vancouver, you're on the construction site, on date night, or in this chair in the studio, you'll be feeling compartmentalized, comfortable, and aerated the way that you should be. Only from the team at Sheath. And the way that you get that pair of underwear, you're going to go to the link in the video description at sheathunderwear.com. You're going to use the code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69 for all the people in the back. That will get you 20% off the greatest pair of underwear money has ever bought and ever will buy. And also, they do ladies stuff as well. They do sports bras, bralettes, and ladies undies as well. Mrs. Intern, does that sound enticing to you?
Oh, so very much.
Would you buy a set?
I think I would after that.
What a
I'm
pitch.
Sold.
What an ad read.
Again, thanks to Sheath for sponsoring the show, as they always do. They've been with us here since day one. Quite a few more questions we got to roll into. I can't remember who asked this. If I can find this, I'll make note to it. But they asked, what was the greatest environment you were ever a part of in hockey? I would say the team in Motor City. I've never been a part of a locker room that was more tight and just cared for each other. Although things have changed drastically since then. The inaugural season opening lineup for the Motor City Rockers, man, the guys were great. The guys were so tight, and we were just a big family. Rob, how about you?
For me, at the pro level, I would say a couple experiences for me that were really good were my playoff run that we had my second year when I was in Reading was awesome. We had a tight-knit group. That was the year I played with Quickie when he was on the team. He wasn't there because he got called up for playoffs, so we didn't have him for then. But we had a big playoff win, game 6, double overtime. I assisted on the game-winning goal, and the team was just like super tight. It was one of those teams where everybody got along, everybody was playing for each other. And we had a huge win against Elmira in the playoffs, game 6, like I mentioned, double OT. Just one of those years, you know, where everybody got along, and it was just an electric environment, and the fans were great. I remember that vividly. That, and then also I remember when I played for the Toronto Marlies in the American Hockey League. For me, that was exciting because I'm an American player. I'm from Buffalo, New York. Grew up playing there my whole life, close to Toronto. But to be playing professional hockey for, you know, the Baby Leafs, essentially, in Toronto was a really cool experience. I remember getting called up, and I remember wandering around the streets of Toronto. We lived on – they put us in a hotel on King Street, so we're, like, right downtown, like, right in the city. And wandering around the city, the snow is falling. You know, they have giant billboard with, like, a TV screen with hockey games playing on it. I mean, it's Toronto. It's, like, the hockey mecca of the world. And to be there and kind of look around and be like, wow, I'm playing pro hockey in Toronto, it just – kind of hit where I was like, this is sick. And then, you know, that team that year was like fluctuating a lot, so like guys were coming up and down from the Leafs all the time. So we'd have one day I was playing with Anton Strahlman, and the next day he's playing for the Maple Leafs, and I'm watching him on TV. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this is crazy. So for me, that was exciting as a player, and to be that close to the NHL, I remember being like, wow, I can almost taste it. But you know, you got to enjoy those days because they were fleeting, and then once it ended, it was over. But Definitely a fun experience for me as an American kid playing pro hockey in Canada.
That was the Ricoh Coliseum in downtown Toronto?
Exactly, the Ricoh Coliseum. Yep.
Is it still around to this day?
It's not called the Ricoh anymore. I don't know what the name of it is. I drove by it a little while ago and I looked at it. Because you can see it from the QEW. Not the QEW. I can't remember. The 401. One of those roads.
This is a spice one. This is going to kind of get us down the headliners for today. Playboy asks, that's his username, at Playboy with a bunch of letters and numbers. He says, did you see the shade your former teammate Justin Schmidt threw at you online the other day? Here's the deal. Whether we're talking about my former teammate Schmitty, who I had, honestly, a couple of really good conversations with him in Watertown. I got no hard feelings towards him. I know he's good friends with Ian White, and a friend of Ian White is a friend of mine. Like I said, I got nothing but love for anybody that plays the game. I did find Schmitty's comments rather interesting. I think that the Schmitty and I are guys that have two very different sets of standards for what we're willing to accept and what we're not. I think that Schmitty is very happy playing in Watertown, living the Fed lifestyle, making the money that he is, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that works for you, fantastic. I am not willing to do that. I have bigger aspirations and bigger goals. I am 27, turning 28, and I want to turn some really positive things happening in my life. And I've talked about this before. Hate always comes from down the ladder, not below the ladder. So I wish Schmitty nothing but the best. I wish anybody that thinks negatively nothing but the best. I think also this is another interesting thing to go off into the next question, because somebody asked, I can't remember who it was, how do you deal with all the negativity online, like negative comments and hate and backlash? If I can find that, I'll give you a shout out. But it's, again, coming back to what we talked about earlier, it's what you make of it, right? I see, okay, who is the comment coming from? In my entire lifetime, I've never had the free time or the ability to leave hate comments of that nature or go out of my way to make Instagram posts like that. Obviously, I've told some stories that maybe may rival on that, but I'm not going out of my way to totally just shit and dump on somebody for absolutely no reason. So I take it with a grain of salt. I look, is it constructive? Is it not? And again, my authenticity is unmatched. So if somebody thinks differently, okay, great, but you're not going to bend my reality. I know what is true. I know what is not. I know what is real and what is fantasy. Simple as that. Rob, thoughts?
By the way, where did he make the comment? Where was the, was it like a story or a post, or what did he do?
So this is an Instagram caption. He said, quote, I put internet tough guys in the exact same category as 10 string goalies who make YouTube vlogs traveling around the world, getting cut by teams all over the world. He then went on to make another post saying, I'm getting really irritated by washed up junior B guys talking about quote unquote life in the Fed when all I know is quote unquote life in the Fed from watching videos by actors who are trying to get internet famous by slandering a league. They will never have the mentality or skills to play in. This league has provided a pretty fun and comfortable lifestyle for me for the past few years, and I've been able to play with some of the toughest, most talented players in my career. Here's to 15 more years. Hey, like I said, if that's what Schmitty likes and that's what makes him happy, all the power to you. I have a set of standards. He has a set of standards. He's playing within those parameters. I am as well. That's not for me. So again, I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, I think you handled it. I think you handled it fine. I think he's entitled to his opinion about what it is you're doing. And like, man, you're a polarizing figure in the hockey community, let's be honest. And that kind of goes into the how do you deal with the online trolls and the online haters. Like, I knew that. I've known that about you for a long time. And I was always impressed with, like, you know, we talked about this. Like, man, like, I was kind of jealous. Like, man, you got so many haters. It's great. Like, all this engagement. And I knew what I was getting into, just like, you know, even being on the podcast, people were going to have an opinion about this and that. But I think the way that you just, you know, just went about handling that right there was like a cool way of just, you know, he's entitled to what he thinks, and you're going to continue to do the best work that you're going to do. And I think you guys are both in the right here, really, to be honest.
And at the end of the day, like, Schmitty is a tough guy. He's a fighter. He fights for his team, and in all reality, he gets punched in the face for a living. So he's tough as shit. So yeah, I got nothing but respect what he does. That's his standards. Those are mine. I wish him well. And if he's got enough free time in the Watertown housing to post stuff about that, hey, all the power to you, man. Thanks for watching. So another question I had, this is actually, I don't think I've talked about this one ever on the podcast. Bryce asked this one. Was there a falling out between you and Pat Shea? Now, if you're not, you know, a day one listener to the show, Pat Shea was the guy that I did the podcast with from day one in April of 2021. This was an idea where Pat had me on his show, Behind the Cage. We had a really good interview. I think, I'm not mistaken, it was the best performing episode he'd ever had. That's the interesting thing. Anybody that ever has me on any other episodes for podcasts, for collaborations, it always gets mad interaction because there are so many people that are just angry. So if you're looking to get some big numbers and your stuff's in the weeds, bring me on. I guarantee.
All the trap haters come out of the woods. It's called engagement, guys.
It's outstanding. However, Pat and I were really flowing on that episode. I remember saying to him, hey, I love the idea of sharing something more than the vlog because I can't put everything I want in an 8-minute video. I want to share conversations. I want to share ideas that are 30, 45 minutes, an hour long. And so that's where we started the podcast. Also, this is in the middle of the scandemic where I'm living in my apartment on the 14th floor on York Avenue in downtown Winnipeg, bored out of my mind. Started a podcast on top of the vlog. I had nothing else to do. So that's where the podcast started. And we went for about a year and a half, I think 67 episodes. I think I was really heartbroken we didn't get to 69 episodes. That was my big goal. You know, I'm serious. That was actually a goal that we talked about, like on our bulletin board of goals. But I think that Pat wasn't totally comfortable with the amount of hate he was getting for working with me. I also think that our creative visions changed a lot. Pat wanted to do sketch comedy, which I did not want to do. I wanted to do interviews and real conversations on the show with guys in the NHL and other creators. Pat didn't want to do that either. So what worked best for us was to just split and part ways creatively. And realistically speaking, it's probably the best thing that happened to both of us because the podcast has exploded since then with, you know, the year and a half that I did with Dave Wheeler and now the network deal. And Pat's comedy has gone through the roof. He's gotten more followers and more income than he ever has before. I think he's been able to retire from professional hockey doing sketch comedy full time. So as far as I'm concerned, the greatest thing that ever happened to us was to start the podcast and then to split. So I wish Pat nothing but the best. We have not spoken since things split about 2 years ago, year and a half, whatever it was ago. Again, I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he doesn't take it personally. And thank you for the time. And thank you for helping me to make the show what it was. And I've kind of taken the reins with Dave and then now with Rob since then. So all the best.
That's great. I was there for the meeting. We were on our road trip gallivanting through the Northeast. And we met up with Pat Shea and his brother in Boston. Remember that? And I was with you. We rolled up together. And I remember it was like the first time we met those guys. And I was actually a guest on the show with Pat Shea once or twice. I don't remember, Trav. Do you remember?
Twice,
yeah. And you know, we talked about earlier, it was like, what happens when the podcast fails, right? Remember when the question came in? I don't remember when it was, but people were like, what happens if it fails? And that's like an example right there of something that like you and Pat built and you moved on from it. But it was like a catalyst that you both took and led to the next thing. And so it's no way it's a failure, you know, it's a success for both. And then it moves on and it comes, you guys create something new. I think that's important. And it's an example right here of what you're doing. So you just keep moving forward and you grew into something better and both guys win.
And I think also from a financial perspective, Pat and I have flourished. I know Pat was really trying to go full time with his sketch comedy, his content creating. He was not making part-time money at the time we were working together. I would assume he's making more than enough full time. I think he's moved out. He's got his own place. He's doing well. And same thing. I mean, I just signed a 6-month lease here in Vancouver, which is the most expensive city to live in Canada, and things are going well. But I wouldn't be able to afford all this stuff. I didn't have an amazing wallet to put all my cash in. And that starts with the next sponsor for the show, the team at Ridge Wallets. Ridge is incredible. I mean, my goddamn last name is essentially on the wallet. I've had my Ridge wallet for almost 4 years. It's incredibly durable. It expands to hold up to 12 cards plus room for cash. So if you're a baller and you're one of the three people that do have cash on you still to this day, you can put cash on your wallet. They also come now with the ability to have a built-in AirTag tracker. I am so famous for losing my wallet. So the fact that the wallet comes with an AirTag option, incredible, so you never lose it. They now have a leather option. So you get that leather finish, you get a matte finish. You have so many options only from the team at Ridge Wallets. And you go to the link in the video description on the YouTube video version of the show. You go to ridgewallets.com. You're going to use the code TravSucks, TravSucks, TravSucks for 10% off your Ridge Wallet today. If you're on the audio version on Apple, Spotify, pull over when safe to do so or at the end of your gym set. Podcast notes, code TravSucks, ridgewallets.com/TravSucks for the best wallet, the best place to put your money. Stylish, sleek, up to 12 cards. It's durable, lifetime warranty. So if you break it, they'll send you a new one, no questions asked. And again, my last name is on the damn wallet. You've got to get a Ridge wallet.
So sick. Can't wait to get my first one. I actually never had one, but some of the perks of being a co-host with Trav on the show is I get to try out the Ridge wallet firsthand. So I'll also let you guys know my review as soon as I get one and I get my hands on one. And I can't wait. I'm super excited.
This is another great question too. Cause when you do get your Ridge wallet, you're gonna have to put some cash in there. Oliver asks, what is your annual salary? How much money do you make before taxes?
Oh, one thing my father taught me was never talk about my margins and my profit margins and how much money I make. So I don't know if I'm going to give you an exact figure, but I own Butt Ends Hockey Grips. Oh, and by the way, Butt Ends, if you want to try one out, if you guys are, you know, if you're ever wondering, Trav's been using Butt Ends for years. Get yourself a Butt Ends grip, buttends.com. Use the code BISCUIT. You get 20% off if you ever wanted to try one. So there you go. There you go. You guys can try it out. But yeah, I pay myself a salary as the owner of Butt Ends. And, you know, not like a ton of money to, you know, extravagant living, but the salary is something that, we pay ourselves. And then we run the business from there. So it's good.
If I could ask you a question just to clarify for the audience. So you and Kev, your business partner, created Butt Ends. And so Butt Ends is his own entity. And now you are an employee of Butt Ends who Butt Ends pays you even though you are Buttons. This is the business workings of Buttons, correct?
That is correct. Exactly. So Buttons, we have an LLC called Buttons, and then Kevin, my business partner, and I are the owners of the company, and we are also the employees of the company. We run it, so we pay ourselves a salary to run the company.
And it's always been you and Kev since day one?
Day one. He's my day one homie.
Now, I'm not gay by any means, but Kev is charming. Kev is deceivingly charming, by the way.
Yeah, he's for sure, man. So there you go. You've known him.
He's like Ric Flair. He's wheeling and dealing, jet flying, limousine riding, son of a gun. And Mrs. Intern, can I get two claps and a Ric Flair? Because I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Wow. Woo! Mrs. Intern, how's it going so far?
It's going great. I'm having a blast.
Are you off-put by our conversations? I know this is the most, what's the word I want to use? Outstanding show in the network's portfolio. This is by far the most different, correct?
100%.
What? So you've been here since what? 9 in the morning? 9 a.m.? 10 a.m.?
Yeah, around 10.
Okay, so 10 a.m. So you've been here for almost a full 10 banger. You've been here for almost 10 hours. No, 8 hours. My bad. Bad math.
Yeah, not so bad.
Math was not a prerequisite to play professional hockey. I'll tell you that for free. But how would you describe the other shows compared to this show?
Different tones. And like different, I don't know, it's just a different vibe. I think this is fun.
Oh, this is the highlight of your week. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep, along those lines.
To the executives in Toronto at our HQ listing and in the beautiful oil capital of Edmonton, Alberta, we need a raise. She needs a raise too. Everybody needs a raise here. The show is outstanding. We love this show.
I need a raise, bro.
Everybody needs a raise. We need more money coming in the door. Ash asked, could Rob and Trav be business partners ever? I mean, technically we are with the show because obviously we split our margins at a certain percentage. As far as coming up with a product, I feel like we have such strong beliefs and values. Like, for example, with the podcast, I'm very firm. Like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want. And you don't have as much experience and knowledge with that. So you're kind of happy to go along with me and be my sidekick to that idea. But with Buttons as well, like you have all this experience and knowledge that I don't have as much for actually creating a physical product. So you'd be better off leading that charge. So if we were to be business partners outside of Buttons or the show, I don't know what we would do. And I don't know how that would go. I love having our friendship. I'm happy the fact that we've been friends for almost a decade. And the show is still humming too. We haven't sabotaged our friendship. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I'm really grateful for you as well as a friend and as a collaborator for many years. I mean, you and I have like met up and done projects. We've done road trips together multiple times, created tons of content together. Now we're doing our podcast here. This is great. And like I said, I couldn't be more grateful that you had me on here. And like Trav came to me and was like, hey, you know, you needed a co-host to come in and slide into the Dave role. And obviously Dave is a professional and somebody who I was a fan of. And, you know, Trav asked me as a friend and as a businessman to come in and help out and be a part of the show. And I was more than happy because like, I really respect Trav's work ethic and what he brings to the table. and so we talked about this again, it keeps coming back up. You know, somebody asked like, what happens when the podcast fails? It's like, well, no, because like we're working and like, you don't know where it's going to lead. You know, you and I could end up doing something, who knows what, because of the podcast, because of Buttons, because of, you know, our roles together. So you just don't know where things are going to go. But if you surround yourself with good people and you work hard at stuff, good things that will happen, good things will come out of it. So that's what I'm thinking.
This is a story that I have never told before either. This is turning out to be a flourishing episode. Brucey asks, what is your daily nug record? Now, a little insight into this joke. So by nug, he means nugget at Burger King. And now Brucey is the original hater. All right, Brucey is a gangster. He's an absolute G, and I'll tell you what. When I was first starting making YouTube videos with my face on it and my voice and my actual like body behind the camera, Brucey religiously, every day, the day of when I would upload a video, he would take a screenshot of the video and Photoshop a dick on it. So he'd like put it in my mouth or by my face or in my hand. He was just so creative. And every video for 6 months, he did that to the point. And I would just respond every time, haha, thumbs up. I'd like the message. God, they were funny. I mean, it's creative. He's putting...
Yeah, that's engagement, man. That's great.
Well, and these personal messages, like this guy is going out of his way to create this and send this to me. And it's better than just a dumb comment where he's like, I hate you, Trav. You're a loser. Trust fund, baby. He's actually going out of his way to create something. And I appreciated the artwork.
Absolutely.
And so I was flying to LA for the LA Kings tryout. I was in Calgary and he says, hey, I'm actually at the Calgary airport right now. Why don't I take you for lunch? Went to Burger King, had some nuggets. And I'll put the video on the video version of the show. This is also when I had a graveyard mouth with braces. And Bruce and I, our friendship flourished. He, about 8 months later, 10 months later, my ex-girlfriend at the time, her and I were driving from Winnipeg to Nanaimo. and he filled up her gas tank in Regina. He's just a stand-up guy. And so going from answering some hate messages, I'll use it very lightly, where he's photoshopped male genitalia all over my face, to filling up my ex-girlfriend's gas tank and buying me nuggets. Like, what a great guy. I think he's in Halifax now on the East Coast. Might be Nova Scotia, maybe New Brunswick. But Bruce, you shout out to you. Hope you're well. And I've had lots of stories like that of people that have shit on me and just win them over, kill them with kindness.
Yeah, shout out to Brucey for that. I'd like to see some of those works of art.
Brucey, what do you say for old time's sake? Take a screenshot of the show and give me some of that 2016 magic. What do you say?
Tell him to make one of me too, man. I'll take one.
Mrs. Intern, what do you think of that?
I'm sorry, I'm taking a business call real quick.
Oh, jeez.
I got a Grady on the line.
Oh, it's our execs in Toronto. Fantastic. We'll be off the air before next week. This episode won't even go up. We'll be off the air, but whatever. Anyway.
Not with the numbers we're pulling, Trav.
This is a little bit more of a personal one. I think this kind of transitions nicely off the male genitalia. Emma asks, is there any girl you wish you didn't mess things up with? Oof. Hard-hitting questions here, Emma.
Oof, yeah, that goes hard.
I'll be honest. I don't know if you want me to disclose this, Rob. Rob and I have done many, many road trips together. We've gone from Florida all the way up to Minnesota. We've done road trips from Winnipeg all the way around the surrounding areas. We've done Toronto. We've done Buffalo. We've done so many road trips. Vermont, Boston.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a lot of talks about ladies, dating, heartbreak, all that type of stuff. Go on. Is there any situations where you think of it, you're like, I shouldn't have done that or I messed that up?
No.
Because you have a girlfriend who is going to be watching right now, and we want to be loyal and honest towards her, correct?
And she's amazing, so yeah.
Baby G is awesome. She's an outstanding woman. I'll put some video on the video version of the show. When we were all eating at, where do we eat in Watertown? At Steakhouse.
Texas Roadhouse.
Is it my turn to get a little bit soft on you?
Yeah, let's hear it, man. What do you got?
There's this one girlfriend I had for about two and a bit years. This is back in the city of Winnipeg, and she was an amazing human being. She was such a good, supportive, feminine woman. Day one, anything I need. I think I've told the story about her digging out the wart in my foot. Have I ever told you that one or no?
No, I haven't heard the wart in the foot story.
Oh, boy. So I had this wart in my foot since I was 5 years old. And I remember she came over one night and she's like, what? Ugh, what is that on your foot? Oh, it's a wart. I've had it since I was five. That's it. She went to Shoppers Drug Mart, came back. She got like a scalpel. She got like peroxide. She got all the whole like toolkit. And she comes back. She's like, give me your foot. What are you doing? I'm going to dig that wart out. It ain't going to live. All right. So every day for 3 months, she'd come. She'd like pick the thing out till either it would bleed or I would scream. And she'd spray some foam in there and bandage it up. Like all she wanted to do was just get rid of this wart. This is just to give you an idea of how caring she was. Or even she had a key to my apartment for a short period of time. And I remember I came back one day and my whole kitchen is being blown up. And I come in, I'm like, what, Aaron, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm making pierogies. Why? I wanted you to have some pierogies. So I made 1,000 pierogies. My freezer was full of pierogies. I had so much potato and cheddar, it's not even funny. Mrs. Intern, do you like pierogies?
I love pierogies.
There's probably still some in my mom's freezer back home from this batch that she made. She was outstanding.
Oh, the one that got away, huh, Trav?
I remember she felt, I think, very neglected by my aspirations to travel the world and go away for a month here, a week here, 8 months here and whatnot. Some lack of communication. This is also where I learned, for the most part, women don't want you to solve their problems. They just want you to listen, right? If a woman's going through a hard time, you don't need to solve a problem and say, oh, well, this is how it's supposed to be. Just shut up and listen. Unless she specifically indicates, please fix my problems. This is what I have. Please do something about it. Just shut up and listen. And I would always want to fix the problems and I would never actually listen. So I really hurt her. I upset her. And that relationship ended after about 2 years. And although I try not to look back too much, I do look at that as an incredible learning experience, a divine teacher, if you will, for how to be better with women, of how this is what you do and this is what you don't do. And I'm very thankful for that time with her because it taught me a lot. Mrs. Intern, any thoughts?
That's a really sad story.
Is it sad?
Yeah. It is sad. How's that wart going, by the way?
The wart's gone. The wart's been gone for about 2.5 years, 3 years. It's great. My first feels fantastic.
All right. That's good.
But you know what also feels fantastic?
What?
You got a Manscaped beard hedger. Trim up that puppy.
Oh, yeah.
Fade and taper that jawline. Mrs. Intern, you got to get it. Well, not you specifically, but everybody's got to get a beard hedger because it has 20 different lengths, 60-minute battery life. It is waterproof as well. Only from the team at manscaped.com. You can fade and taper. I get the jawline, that Wes Scantlin, that Edge WWE jawline that I want, that Kurt Cobain look of my dreams. You fade and taper it into the skin fade on the top. Oh boy, It's looking good. And when you go to the link in the video description at manscaped.com, use the code BIZKIT BISKIT for 20% off and free shipping. You got to get it. You get the Beard Hedger, Lawnmower 5, all the entire portfolio of Manscaped products only at manscaped.com. Link in the video description. Thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the show. Got a couple questions left. Rob, do you have any thoughts so far on all the things we just touched on?
Yeah, I keep thinking about that wart that your ex-girlfriend keeps trying to dig out of your foot. No, I think we're doing good, man. I'm appreciative to all the questions and looking forward to seeing. I like doing these kind of questions, Q&A, so if you guys have them, just keep peppering the comments with some new questions for us. We'll be happy to answer them, whatever.
Also, if you want to answer a question, ask a question for every episode, join the Patreon page, $5 a month. All questions do get answered and live shows on the show. Anyway, Slim Pickens says, rumor has it, this dude drank more pumpkin spice lattes than he had minutes played this season. True or false? Absolutely true. I love a good pumpkin spice latte. A little cold foam. This is interesting. Do you like a little pumpkin spice as well?
Oh, I do. I'm basic like that.
Hot or cold?
Ooh, probably hot. It's a cold time of year when it comes out, so. But I like both.
You drink hot coffee in the summer and cold coffee in the winter or no?
No. I'm more likely to drink cold coffee in the winter, but. Even then.
No, sorry, man. Pumpkin spice latte, not for me, man. Too much sugar. And for me, I don't deviate from my coffee game. In the morning for me now, it is a half-calf Americano with an extra shot and a scoop of really good butter is how I roll. Sort of like a bullet coffee, I guess they call it.
A little grass-fed butter.
Oh, yeah. Starting the day off right.
Favorite teammate of all time?
Brian Boulay. Rest in peace to my dear best friend who passed away, unfortunately, but we played together in college and we played together actually in pro hockey as well. And I think about him every day, and he died at 34 years of age, and I'm sad about it, and he's my favorite teammate of all time.
That was with Redding? He played with Redding and Merrimack as well?
Yeah, we were Merrimack freshmen together, and we played together there my 4 years that I was there, and then he came and joined up and played with me when I was in Reading as well. And we played together pro as well. So we probably played I think 6 years together about.
Beauty.
What about you?
It was a short time, but it was a good time. I'm going to go with Joe Shepherd and Blake Wyrick in Mississippi, the two goaltenders. I don't think I've ever had two guys that I've enjoyed having just men conversations, life conversations with more outside of the rink ever. I love Big Sexy Motor City. He's a lot, as you know, you get to see Big Sexy's a lot. I love him. God bless him. Good friend of mine. I love Trevor Babin. I love Tate Leeson in Watertown. Old Tater Tot. Hope you're well, doing well, buddy. Hope you and Allie are doing very well as well.
Wow.
We've had some good conversations. But Joe Shepherd and Blake Wyrick, easily by far the two best human beings, most intelligent men I think I've ever played with in my life. And yeah, I look forward to maybe one day playing with them again. They're both outstanding dudes, stand up guys.
That's sick, man.
Which you probably won't hear very often. A goalie say, I enjoyed my goalie partner with the best company, but those two guys were outstanding, great human beings, which are extreme outliers in the Fed, to be honest.
Yeah. I got to hang out with you guys up in Motor City. I had a couple beauties up there, man. I could see that. Especially shout out to Big Sexy again. Big Sexy.
Also, I've had seen people ask, why is he named Big Sexy? He's big and he's sexy. Big Sexy.
Yeah, it fits. It definitely fits.
Dude deadlifts like 700 pounds. He like squats 6,000.
And he's just a beauty. Just one of those standard fighter tough guys who off the ice is just like one of the coolest guys, one of the best guys too. I loved meeting him and hanging out. That was fun.
Emil asks, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'm going to quote the Peter Griffin, about 5 years older, maybe 5 to 10 years older-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Don't say doing your wife. Don't say doing your wife. Don't say doing your wife. Don't say doing your son? So I didn't get the job.
Nope, didn't make it.
Can I be honest for a second? And Mrs. Intern, I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on this. Anytime I meet a female of interest's parents, internally, because there's a monkey clapping like cymbals in my head and like running a whole like orchestra and like a band, I always think of the Family Guy clip of Peter Griffin where he's talking with Lois, and Lois is like, yeah, you know, my dad's kind of hard to impress. She's like, Lois, I'm great with parents. This will go outstanding. All right, Peter Griffin, I'm nailing your daughter. So that could have gone better.
You got to turn that off. That's basically the only thing you need to do to not impress a parent. Like, that's the one thing.
I've never verbalized that, but it has. It does blow my mind. I'm like, don't say this. Just don't say this. Don't say this. Don't say it. Doing your son?
Oh, no.
So, like, you've seen Ted, right? Like, when he goes to do the interview, oh, it's okay, John. I do great with interviews. Never had somebody talk to me like this before. So everybody's chewing your wife's box. What? You see the movie?
I haven't seen that one, though.
Never seen Ted?
No.
Oh, Ted's an incredible movie. I've never had somebody talk to me like that. You're hired. Damn it. He's trying not to get the job. What do you say we wrap it here? That's an amazing episode full of questions.
Yeah. Q&A. Yeah, seriously. We crushed it. Keep them coming, guys. Let's get some more questions in here for the boys.
Bye.